We are going to get started this morning, continuing our discussion into the Gospel of John. I do realize that it's Christmas season. Y'all know I know that, right? By all this stuff they're doing here at this church and all the songs in the stores. So I'm planning on doing something kind of unusual next week because we're thinking about maybe do a sermon called Easter in December. You've heard of Christmas in July, right? We're going to do Easter in December and kind of go through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. So, and then I'm going to have John 17 to say for you. So anyway, that's my plan. So we're discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John. The day's sermon title is, I Will Not Leave You Orphans. Why don't we all say that? I will not leave you orphans. Remember last week I told you that we came out of John 13 and 15. Y'all remember that? Today we're going to come out of John 14 and 16. And when you're discussing chapters 13 through 17, you cannot have a discussion about those chapters without talking about the Holy Spirit. Because how many of you realize or know that Jesus is not here physically anymore? Now, he's in a good spot. He sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us, and I'm happy about that. But he's not here physically. But somebody else is here who is divine, who is God, and that is the Holy Spirit. So he spends a great deal of his time in these chapters talking about what he's going to do when he leaves and who he's going to send. And there are some amazing things that we need to read and learn and study. Can you say amen on that? So let me give you these verses slowly and carefully. I will not, say that with me out loud, everybody. I will not leave you orphans. All right, let's do it. Jamin, it should be the first verse in John 14. All right. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now listen to this. Now let's focus on this. And he will give you another helper that he may abide with you every now and then. Every once in a while. When Indiana gets beat by Arizona. No, and he will abide with you forever. Verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now that's easy to understand, right? That's easy to understand why the world can't receive him, because he's the Spirit of truth. And there's hardly, I can't find any place, hardly anywhere, where you can get any kind of truth. Amen. Especially in Washington, D.C. The Spirit and social media. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Listen to this, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Let's say that out loud. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. See, I don't make these titles up. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then he makes this amazing statement in John chapter 16. This is an amazing statement he makes in John 16. But now I go away to him who sent me. This is the key. Jesus has been on the earth, ministering on the earth for 33 and a half years, right? Doing things that no man has ever done before. I know all of us would appreciate the fact if we could have been there and saw it, but he's done things that nobody's done before. And then he goes to the cross. He's going to go to the cross, and he's going to shed his blood for the remission of the sins of the whole world. And then God's going to raise him from the dead. You with me? Then he's going to go into heaven. He's going to be coronated. And as he goes into heaven, God's going to coronate him and call him God and tell him to sit at his right hand. And that's where he is now. He says, but now I go away to him. I go away to him who sent me. God so loved the world that he gave. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Verse 6. These are amazing. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Because they're sad because they realize that, you know, this amazing person is, he's telling them he's going to go away, and it makes them sad. Isn't that a normal reaction? Wouldn't that be a normal reaction? Verse 7, and this is what I want you to see. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. How many of you like that word advantage? How many of you like it when your sports team has the advantage? Everybody understand what advantage means? You know that it's a plus for you. So this is what people, this is what's so amazing about what he's telling us. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. In other words, it's better for you if I go away. Think about that. It's better for you if I go away. Now, tie this in with everything we've learned up to now through the Gospel of John. Remember, the reason why it's better for you if I go away, when I go away, I'm going to go into heaven, and I'm going to present myself to God on behalf of the whole world. See? See, God was in Christ. Listen very carefully. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So I'm going to go into heaven and present myself to God the Father with my own blood, and I am going to reconcile the world to God. I'm going to make peace between God and man. As a result of Jesus making peace with God and man, man can now be set free from the law of sin and death. Now listen to me. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to get some water. The Holy Spirit could not come and live in our hearts till our sins were paid for. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in the hearts of sinners. Remember when Jesus was crucified and he shouted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he gave up his spirit. Remember that the Bible tells us that the veil of the temple where the Holy Spirit was under the old covenant in the temple, where the veil of the temple was, remember the Holy Spirit, when Jesus gave up the ghost and breathed his last breath, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, from top to bottom. This is a big, we used to have a curtain up here. It's a big old long curtain, and an angel probably went up there and tore that curtain in two from top to bottom, and the Holy Spirit left that place and is now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, and after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's no longer dwelling in temples made with man's hands. He's dwelling in our hearts. Everybody tracking so far? Now that's pretty cool. So that's why you'll see, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. You get a glimmer of why that is? Because Jesus goes away, because he presents his blood for the remission of our sins, the Holy Spirit can now come into the heart of righteous people and abide in us, and we can do the, listen, remember what he said in John 14, 12? And we can do the same things that Jesus did. Now, I understand that we've fallen short in that area, but nevertheless, we have to tell people the good news that we can do the same things that Jesus did. We don't need to talk all that doubt and unbelief and limit God. We can tell people that the God in me, through the Holy Spirit, is actually the Spirit of Christ that's no longer just confined. Listen very carefully to this. Now, it's very interesting. That's no longer just confined to the work, to the Son of God that was living on the earth for 33 and a half years. He's in the hearts of all the community of believers. Amen. What about that, Duke? Is that right? Is that spot on? Is that speaking to you? Amen. I'm kind of focusing on you because I love you and we don't want you to be hurting. And so when we offer this prayer to you, we want you to come up with faith. Amen. We want you to come up and not say, well, you know, God wants you well. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Does that make sense? Everybody see that? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. Why couldn't the helper come if he didn't go away? Because he has to go away with his own blood to obtain eternal redemption for us, so that the Holy Spirit can come on the day of Pentecost and live inside of his church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The church of the risen Savior, who is victorious because of what Jesus did, not because of what we've done. Amen. We got to stay humble. We got to stay focused on the fact that it's not anything we've done. We didn't deserve any of this. It's not something that we've earned. It's a gift that God has given us because of his great love for us. Remember that last week? See how you, boy, I tell you what, if you just want to do something smart, if you'll just read the John chapters 13 through 17 and feed on that, it'll help you and renew your mind and cleanse your heart of some things. Y'all see that? For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now here's where I'm going to go with this. Everybody's tracking so far, right? Everybody's tracking so far? I do this little exercise ever so often because I want people to understand something. I'm holding up in my hand the great Bible that Mr. James Taylor bought for me a couple of years ago. And I want to show you something after I read this verse. So everybody's listening, everybody's tracking. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, has he come? Did Jesus go into heaven with his own blood? Has the Spirit of God come after the day of Pentecost? Let me give you a verse before we get there, let me get you happy on there. Go to Romans 8:16 and 17. And then I'm going to teach you something that's one of the things that God called me to teach. So I'm going to teach it. Look here. We know he's come because is the book of Romans written to just the church in Rome, or is it written to everybody? Is it written to the church here in Sierra Vista? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let's say that out loud. Let's get that out. Say it out loud. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So evidently the Holy Spirit's come. And the Holy Spirit's come to bear witness with our spirit. Notice, and this is so important, and this is why sometimes it's difficult. Notice he's not bearing witness with your mind. Now your mind will realize it, but he's not bearing witness with your mind. He's bearing witness with your spirit, because God is a spirit and we're spirits. We're spirit beings, okay? And so the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Everybody tracking? Is he bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? You know how you operate faith? You know how you operate faith? You don't read that verse and say, boy, I sure hope that's right. You don't read that verse and say, boy, I sure hope that preacher knows what he's talking about. You got to read that verse and say, I believe that verse. The Word of God effectively works in those who believe it. Can I get an amen, Robert? Golf shot. Thank you. Amen. Robert has associated himself at work with a gentleman that I play golf with, and the guy that you know is a really good golfer. Did he tell you the truth and tell you that I'm not that great?
He spoke of himself.
Okay. I like what he said. He said he spoke of himself and he didn't speak bad about me. Okay. I am an average golfer, and really, in the great sphere of things, an average golfer is not bad because so many people are terrible at golf. Right, Duke? Amen. Anyway, Robert's talked to him, and I guess he told him one of my catchphrases out there is golf shot. I hope he didn't tell him much else, but golf shot. Oh, amen. Thank you. All right, so the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So you have to identify with that by confessing that with your mouth and believing that with your heart. So it's not wrong to just say, the Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit's come. All right, so go to John 16:13. I'm going to teach this little, this is a truth that I've been teaching here for 26 years, and it'll change your life if you get a hold of it. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, so I'm going to ask it again, has he come?
Yes.
However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. I would underline, if you brought your Bible, I'd underline those phrase, those two words. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will, listen to this, this is also something that's important. He will glorify me always, always. One of the mistakes that's gotten made in our TV age of church and our things like that is you got to be real careful that we're not glorifying people. He will always glorify Jesus. Always. You got to make sure that we're glorifying Jesus. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Got it? 16:12. We took a little trip. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So listen, here's what I'm going to show you. I'm opening my Bible up to John, where he said these words, to John 16, okay? And that's right here. Everybody see that right here? That's a whole lot of Bible right there, isn't it? I had a friend of mine. I made contact with a friend of mine that I grew up with in high school. And I befriended him. He was kind of a, I was one of the, I don't know how to say this without sounding arrogant, but I was one of the popular kids. And he was not really one of the popular kids, but he was real smart. So I kind of always hung around him if I needed help with anything at school, you know. But anyway, I always kind of befriended him. And down the road, when I got born again, I actually witnessed to him one time. So, lo and behold, a couple of days ago, he requests to be friends with me on Facebook, and he informs me that the seed I planted those years ago bore fruit, and he has become a born-again Christian, and he's going to a big church in Louisville, and I knew that when I began to communicate with him, I knew his personality, and I knew I'd hear a lot from him. Amen. And it's a good thing, and most of the stuff is really good. So anyway, he asked me an interesting, anyway, I'm staying on this, I got time. See, is this a whole lot of the Bible? Is this a whole lot? He asked me a question. He said, have you read the whole Bible? So I got to thinking, Miss Gloria, you know it's not really right to lie, is it? By the way, let me just ask this question, and is it wrong to ask this question? Is there anybody out there that has really and truly read the entire Bible from cover to cover? We got four people that's read it all the way through. Now, just so I won't feel left out, if somebody asked me how many times have you read the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation, I've only read the book of Revelation probably about three or four times in my life, maybe five. And the more I read it, the more it's not as complicated as I used to think it was. I'm going somewhere with this, by the way. But it's interesting anyway. Isn't this interesting? But if you ask me how many times have I read the New Testament all the way through, I would say easily 300 times at least. Easily. But I got to tell you the truth. If you'll look at my Bible, and by the way, this is my preaching Bible. I leave it here at church all the time. This is my preaching Bible. It stays here at church. I got one exactly like this at home. But if you look at these Bibles, you'll see that which one of the pages, which pages are worn. Can y'all help me? See the pages that are worn? Y'all see that? The pages that are worn. See how white these are back here? I haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about these things. Anyway, I've read Genesis many, many times. I've read Exodus. What's after some of these? Deuteronomy, Numbers. Boy, it's hard for me to read Leviticus. I'm probably pretty sure I've read all the Psalms. Pretty sure I've read all the Psalms. Anyway, the guy asked me, have you read the whole Bible? And I had to say, you know, I haven't. And he said he's done it twice. He's run it through twice. So I said, well, la-di-da, good for you. Way to go. Congratulations. You read the Bible through. Anyway, I said, no, I haven't read the entire Bible all the way. And congratulations on everybody that has done that. Remember, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And then go back to verse 13 and remember what he says here. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. So basically what I'm saying to you is, and this is, people have to understand this, does everybody agree or understand that this is God's word from Genesis up to John 16, through John 16? Absolutely, no doubt about it, it's God's word. It's divided into two parts, the old covenant and the new covenant. God didn't change, but the covenant changed. Does that make sense? God didn't change, but the covenant changed. So this part of the Bible, this is what people have a hard time understanding, and you got to hear it now, because we're not a cult. We believe in this book from cover to cover. This is not a cult you're hooked up with. But this part of the Bible doesn't contain all truth. See? It doesn't contain all truth, because Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Guess what part of the Bible gets you all truth? The rest of it. The rest of it. And the rest of it couldn't be written until Jesus had been raised from the dead and the Holy Spirit came to reveal to us what his death, burial, and resurrection meant. Y'all see that? So that's the reason why I highly recommend. Now listen, I have changed my attitude somewhat about a lot of things doing this for the period amount of time I have. I absolutely highly recommend that you regularly and consistently read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everybody listening to me? And I want you to read the Old Testament too, as long as you can always read it in light of the New Testament. But I always and highly recommend that you spend the majority of your time, if you're a child of God, if the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, I highly recommend that you spend the majority of your time reading from Acts to Revelation. And really, if you want to break it down even smaller than that, to read from Romans to Revelation. Because those are letters that God specifically wrote to us to tell us all truth, to reveal to us what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection meant. And then you'll understand that really and truly, this is something else too, you'll understand that really and truly, this part of the book was really written about and for Jesus. He told the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, and they testify of me. These things back here testify me. I'm going to turn there because I wasn't planning it. Everybody see this part of it? Got it? Okay. So I'm going to show you what he told them in Luke, chapter 24 of Luke. I want to show you something. I want to get you excited about reading the letters that God specifically wrote to you that'll renew your mind to all truth, and you'll be able to see who you are in Christ and what benefits you have as a child of God. You have benefits as a child of God. Everybody with me? Luke 24:44. How many of you liked it when the teacher at school summed everything up for you? Was that your favorite teacher, Keith? Huh? Wasn't that your favorite teacher when he summed everything up for you? Watch what Jesus does in Luke 24:44. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. That's this whole book. That's this part right here. Y'all see that? Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, while I was still with you. He's left. He's gone up to heaven. Now the Holy Spirit's the one with us, and he's the one that's going to guide us into all truth and tell us what it means for us now that Jesus has died on a cross, been buried, and been raised from the dead for our justification. He's going to reveal to us what that means for us. What wonderful, glorious information that's contained in that truth. But see, while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled. All things, how many things? All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Y'all tracking? Now watch this. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Praise God. I know I'm not jumping up and down and shouting a lot this morning, but sometimes you got to just teach. You understand that? You got that? Becky, I hope I'm moving you this morning. Tell me I'm moving you with my teaching ability. Now, sometimes you just have to slow it down, though, to show people and teach people, because one of our foundational things that we're talking about is that we've got to create more Bible-believing Christians. Our country will not change the way we all desperately want it to change, and there's a whole group in here that does. Our country will not change for the positive until we get more Bible-believing Christians that believe in Almighty God, that believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that believe that man, God made man male and female, that God made man to live a certain moral way. Amen. Now, living a certain moral way doesn't save you, but once you get saved, you ought to live a certain moral way. By tracking? And we don't have enough of that. I mean, it's beyond comprehension how accepted lying is. How people just lie and nobody's held accountable for lying. And that's why we can't get people elected that we want elected, because people are lied to and they believe the lie and they vote for the lie. If you know the truth will set you free. Amen. Everybody see that? 2 Peter chapter 1. Jesus came and fulfilled everything about him that was written in the Old Testament. Y'all see that? Then he tells them in John 16 through his discourse at the Last Supper that the Holy Spirit's going to come and guide us into all truth and explain to us what his death, burial, and resurrection meant. Okay? Now, so Peter writes in the New Testament, in the all truth that would be revealed by the Holy Spirit, watch what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent. How many of you know about that word negligent? It's not a good word, is it? For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. What he's reminding us of is the all truth that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would reveal to us when he came back to the earth, because Jesus saved us. Tracking? For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Here it is right here. Though you know and are established, listen to this, in the, say this right here. Present. Say it like you mean it. Present. Here's what the problem is in our churches and in our country. We don't have enough people that know the present truth. We don't have enough people that know that they've been saved by grace through faith, that God lives on the inside of the believer. They can handle any situation and any circumstance because the God in them is greater than the devil that's in the world. We haven't focused our mind. And when I say we, I'm included in this. The only thing that's happened to me different is that I realized this stuff many years ago, and I've taught it since I've learned it. But again, I have to do the same thing everybody else does. I'm not immune to any of it just because I'm up here holding the Bible up and talking about it. I have to focus my mind. I have to focus what I believe on the present truth. And where are you going to find the present truth? From Romans. So I'm going to hold my Bible up one more time. Because, all right, ask everybody how many people's read the Bible. It's a big one. How many pages is in a typical Bible? Anybody know? How many of you want to just say a lot? 1,547. That's a lot of pages, isn't it? Huh? And that's small print. I want to show you how wonderful God is, how cool God is. Okay? You know what I've got held up in here, right here, Dr. Kukar? I could have saved you a lot of time. Amen. What am I holding up right here?
The summary.
The summary. What's any good teacher going to give you? The summary. What's any good teacher going to tell you, Donnie, what the answer is on the test? I'm going to go with summary, but what I'm really holding up is present truth. Everybody see that? Now, let me ask you a question. So you've read, your Bible has 1,000 pages in it. Has anybody else out there, let me ask you, has anybody else out there read War and Peace? Isn't that one of them big, long Bible books? No. I thought maybe you'd raise your hand on that too. And then, look at how much we're asked to focus on a regular basis. Right here. We can handle that, can't we, Duke? Can we handle that? Romans through Jude. And I've even got mine in a large print. Extra large print. James, if you ever get me another one, I want one just like it. But everybody see that? Romans through Jude contains the present truth. And so what you'll find out is that people, I'm reluctant to put my Bible down because I know I'm going to use another illustration. People that get acclimated to this just are different. They're different. They know God. They understand what has happened to them through their death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that God's Spirit bears witness with their spirit. They know they can do all things. Listen to this. They know they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. They know that God loved them. They know that God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now let me say something else too. How many of you want to shout about that? I gave you a few shouting things there, right? How many of you want to shout about that? Let me tell you something else that's in here too. And this has not been taught enough from a lot of people. Something else that's in here too is that our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here on the earth. Am I right? That hadn't been taught enough. We don't need to focus our mind on things on the earth. We need to focus our minds on things above because our citizenship is in heaven and this life is temporary. This life is temporary. I'm going to read, I didn't plan this, but I'm going to go over here anyway. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we'll finish in Romans. We'll finish in Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Verse 16. Everybody heard all the good stuff, right? Is God in you? Yes. Is the God in you greater than the devil that's in the world? Yes. Can you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Yes. Is that in the present truth? Yes. Is that in the summary that Dr. Kukar so wonderfully told us? Is that there? Is that summarized in the letters from Romans to Jude? But here's what else is in here. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. Is that true? Is that true? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. How often? Day by day, day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Tell me I'm moving you, Rebecca. Tell me. Amen. Amen. Mary, you see that? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, Duke, I want to tell you something. Don't let the devil tell you that that's talking about sickness and disease. That's not talking about sickness and disease. Jesus bore your sickness. Whatever Jesus bore, you don't have to bear. This is talking about the fact that because we're not of the world, but we live in the world, that we're going to have to deal with tribulation and persecution. And nobody can escape that. Nobody can. Anybody that's going to live a godly life in Christ Jesus has to deal with that. But you can be set free from sickness and disease because Jesus bore that for you. Everybody tracking? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's in the present truth. That's in the summation. That's the part of the Bible you got to focus on if you're going to be a victorious Christian in this life. You can't focus on condemnation and guilt and worrying about whether you've done enough good or whether God's going to get you for doing something. You got to focus on the fact that the God in you forgave you of all your iniquities. And you've been set free by His Spirit. And you have to look at that and focus your mind on that and not on things on the earth. Everybody cool? Now let me read these passages in Romans. And then Duke, would you be opposed to us praying for you? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Does He? Does He dwell in us? Did He come on the day of Pentecost? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone, so notice this, and I didn't get a chance to focus on this. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. See, this is another reason why it was to our advantage for Jesus to go away, because Jesus could only be at one place at one time. If he was in Capernaum, that's where he was. If he was in Jerusalem, that's where he was. If he was in Sidon, that's where he was. But guess where he is today? Through the Holy Spirit, he's everywhere believers are. So Duke could come this morning to a fellowship of believers, and we could lay hands on him because we have the Spirit of Christ in us. Does that make sense? Everybody see that? See, that's why it's our advantage. That's why it was our advantage. See, he can't go back 2,000 years and have Jesus pray for him, but he can have Jesus pray for him through us. Oh, that's wonderful. He can have Jesus pray for him through us. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of, why? We were made righteous because of righteousness. We were made righteous. That's why the Holy Spirit could live in a righteous person. Can't live in sinners. He has to live in a righteous person. Are you a righteous person? Does God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit? Yes. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. Here it is. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. Let's say that verse out loud, and then we'll have Duke come up. Let's say that verse out loud. Ready? But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Duke, will you come up this morning? First of all, I'm going to tell you something that's really wonderful. You took the step of faith to come and hear this word this morning. So God's going to reward that part of it. Amen? And then you need to see that, does the Spirit of God dwell in you?
Yes.
Does He? And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, He will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let me ask you this question. Do you want to be healed?
Well, of course.
No, I know. Do you want to be healed?
Yes.
You want to be healed and you want to live your life here to be an example of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
All right. So what I'm going to do, we're going to do what James 5:14 says. We're going to obey the scripture this morning. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what we're going to do. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to anoint you with oil in the name of Jesus. Notice what it says here. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith, not the prayer of doubt. See, not the prayer of hoping and wishing. You got to listen to me now. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And listen to this. This is so beautiful. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Amen.
So you don't have to be, You don't have to let the devil torment you and say, well, because you've done this terrible stuff, and I'm not saying you have, I'm just saying, but you don't have to let the devil torment you and say, well, God's not going to do anything for you because you did this, this, and this. No, and even if you've committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Yes.
God's in the business of forgiving and loving and healing.
Amen.
Amen. So it's the prayer of faith that's going to heal you. So we're going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith, which means we're going to ask God in the name of Jesus to remove this cancer from your body, and we're going to believe we receive it when we pray. Everybody tracking with me? We're going to believe we receive it when we pray. So I want you to do something for me. I want you to get your hands out of your pocket, and I want you to just lift your hands and receive what we're going to do for you. Amen? And let me say something else too, Duke. These sermons are on the internet. Okay? And so it might be a really good idea if you would go.
I see you on Facebook.
And it would be a good idea maybe to listen to this sermon again and build your faith up. Keep building your faith up. Everybody tracking? So, Duke Boyers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm laying my hands on you in Jesus' holy name. And I'm commanding the cancer out of your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. No cancer can stay there in Jesus' holy name, because by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And we're praying the prayer of faith. And on accordance with the word of God, the Bible says that the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And so we believe it and we receive it when we pray, not when we see manifestations of it, not when we feel better, but when we pray, we believe we receive in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. So Duke, say, I receive
my healing
right now
by faith
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. It would be so much simpler, and this would be a normal thing in church, if we taught what we just did with Duke the same way we taught salvation.
Amen.
See, you should walk out of there and say, listen, that minister prayed the prayer of faith for me, and I was healed in Jesus' name. Just like we walk out of here, and we walk out of here, and we say we're saved because we know the Word of God says we are. Does everybody see that? It's the same principle. We just got people kind of focused on the wrong thing when it comes to healing. We think we look at the physical instead of looking at the Word of God the same way we look at the Word of God for salvation. Jesus said, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to rise, take up your bed, and walk? And he proved either way it's the same thing, because he raised up that paralytic by faith.
Amen.
Amen. You got it? Amen. Let's stand up on our feet. Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity to come together and share your word. Thank you that we are partakers of the present truth. We are partakers of the present truth. And so if you're listening by radio or internet and you have not gained access to the present truth, because you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me, because you're ready to become a child of God. Pray this prayer with me. Say,
Dear God,
I believe
that Jesus Christ
is the Son of God.
I believe
that He died for my sins,
and that He rose from the dead
for my salvation. I confess with my mouth, because
I believe in my heart,
Jesus,
you
are
Lord.
And by faith,
I call myself
now
a child of
God.
And I believe
that God's Spirit
bears witness
with my spirit
that I am
a child of
God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations, you're a member of the household of faith. Amen. Father, we just thank you and honor you and glorify you for the great opportunity to share the Word of God. We thank you for these faithful folk that come and support us financially so we can meet the need and continue to put this information out. And Lord, we just ask that more and more people get raised up, they get turned on to the present truth. We thank you for the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. We thank you that it's your Word. And we thank you that there's places to go to learn the deeper things of you. And that's in the books of Romans through Jude. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.